Every time you deliver a baby, it's the most magical thing that you've ever seen.
Ready to go home?
It's this beautiful, amazing feeling that just, it never fades. It's something that this community needs.
Having a safe place to give birth is an essential part of healthcare, but it's one that's disappearing from America's hospitals.
I don't think any hospital wakes up one morning and says, you know what? I don't really like doing this. Let's just stop doing it. If we can't pay the bills, I mean, we're kind of on our own.
More than half of hospitals in rural communities no longer deliver babies. But what we're seeing now is just the tip of the iceberg.
A debate in Washington could reshape healthcare for millions of vulnerable Americans.
It's the most significant attack on the healthcare needs of the American people in our country's history.
This is 100% a necessary service.
I worry that there would be death.
So what happens when something as basic as safely giving birth is no longer possible in many parts of this country?
I've lived my life for 42 years here, and this is the first time where I'm like, you're making it harder if you continue in that way. I don't know if we can stay.
This is our next generation. This is the future of our country. If we're not valuing that and making that a priority, what are we doing?
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Sarah Omotoso was born and raised in Morrisville, Vermont, a small town of just 2,000 people. She works as a nurse at Copley Hospital and is expecting her first baby in December.
It's a little girl.
Oh my God.
I can't stop looking at it.
Ever since I've worked at the birthing center, I've always said, if I have a baby, I want to have it here.
Sarah was planning to have her baby at Copley Hospital's birthing center, just 6 minutes from her house. But that changed in June, when Copley was the latest to join what's emerging as a national crisis.
Citing costs and a declining birth rate, Copley Hospital says it's closing its birthing center.
It'll be shuttered at midnight on November 1st.
After nearly 100 years of doing labor and delivery, Copley Hospital said it could no longer offer this service because the hospital was losing $15,000 to $30,000 on each birth.
How did it feel for you that the hospital was closing this because of money?
I felt betrayed. I don't understand. I can't tell you how many times I said that, and we all looked at each other and said, I don't understand.
It's the only hospital in the entire county. So when we close, we will become a maternity care desert. So there will be no obstetrical care in the entire county, and people will have to leave the county to have their babies. What hurts my heart is I live in a county where people are only gonna die and not be born.
April Vanderveer has helped people have babies at Copley for the last 20 years.
So there's 11 hospitals in Vermont that deliver babies. And all of them, except that big hospital in Burlington, are small. And Copley's one of those. So we, on average, deliver about between 175 and 200 babies a year, which, you know, is not a huge number. But to those 200 people, it's a super important service.
Pretty much anywhere you go, you're going to have to travel about an hour. That's an hour there for a prenatal appointment. And an hour back, that's 2 hours, 45-minute appointment. That's 3 hours out of my day that I have to use my earned time off. Don't get paid for that. That's just me. We have a whole entire community of people who already struggle to come to their prenatal appointments, and they're 15 minutes away from us. And all of a sudden, with this closure, we're telling them that they have to go an hour or more to get to where they need to get prenatal care or postpartum care. And that's unacceptable. That's not acceptable.
More than 500 hospitals across the U.S. have closed their labor and delivery units since 2010, hitting rural areas the hardest. So why is it that these communities are losing what should be an essential part of any hospital?
The biggest, and I hate to say it this way, but the biggest loser financially is definitely labor and delivery, by far.
This is Aaron Edwards, the CEO of Lake Chelan Community Hospital, a rural hospital in Washington state. Lake Chelan runs a full labor and delivery unit with a team of OB nurses and a class of OB residents.
To sustain a labor and delivery program, I mean, you have to have a lot of people. You have to have on-call staff all the time, whether you're doing anything or not.
Rural hospitals often struggle because they don't see a lot of patients. And in America's for-profit healthcare system, no patients means no payments.
For us, our best year in labor and delivery was last year, which was a $500,000 loss. We would need to be at about 300 deliveries, and we are at, last year it did about 85.
Wow.
So we're not even close.
But the real problem for rural hospitals goes back to how America funds its healthcare.
Because of the way insurance works, almost no one in rural areas is making any money off of birth. Everyone's losing money because it's just not reimbursed.
When hospitals deliver a baby, they're reimbursed by either Medicaid or private insurance.
So Medicaid pays quite a bit less than commercial payers do for this service line, which is beyond me why.
The average global payment for the whole pregnancy, all the visits, birth, everything, is that from Medicaid in Vermont is about $1,900. We're a resource-rich country, and yet we can't seem to, like, prioritize healthcare like a lot of countries do. And so Medicaid especially has been underfunded for a long time.
When Medicaid doesn't pay what it actually costs to keep a labor and delivery unit running, hospitals lose money. It's particularly a challenge in rural areas, where there's a higher percentage of Medicaid patients.
About 78% of our labor and delivery patients are Medicaid. That's tough.
To stay afloat, many hospitals have to counter losses from labor and delivery with other services that make the hospital more money.
Something like orthopedics or general surgery, I mean, those service lines are reimbursed really well, and you do pretty well. So, you know, you can, for the most part, offset losses in other areas if those things are doing well.
But even that can be challenging because rural hospitals have to negotiate with insurance companies.
For rural providers that are independent and smaller, they simply have less negotiating leverage, less market power to obtain adequate prices. The financial pressure on hospitals in rural areas really leaves them in a bind. They can, one, discontinue services, especially those that are less lucrative, or they can simply close their doors and discontinue all their services.
The right business decision right now would be we should not be doing this. There's too much risk. We're losing, in the best years, $500,000, you know? But that's not the right decision, in my opinion.
I was born in Lake Chelan Hospital. All of my siblings were born there. I had a son here as well. My dad was born here. It's something that this community needs.
Juliana England is an OB nurse at Lake Chelan Hospital.
How's like the color in her face and stuff? Is it
pretty good? Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of people who have come here quickly to deliver, and they didn't intend to deliver here, but they went into labor quickly and had to come, and it was emergent and it was terrifying for them. And if we hadn't been here, then there could have been catastrophic results.
In areas where there are no hospitals with obstetric care, the risk of death during pregnancy or childbirth is significantly higher.
The day Copley announced they were closing, we had someone arrive and have a baby 11 minutes later. And she lives 5 minutes from the hospital. Like, she barely made it to us. That's truly a risk.
My wife was pregnant with our daughter, Olivia. We were in Republic, Washington, which was about 55 miles from the nearest hospital that did labor and delivery at the time. There was trouble, went down to our emergency room. She ultimately got flown to a very large hospital in Spokane and delivered a baby at 27 weeks. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever been through in my life. And this job has definitely been scary at times, but nothing compares to the possibility of losing your wife or your child.
Having a baby is a life or death situation. And obviously, most of the time, like, I'm a midwife, I trust the process. Most of the time it works out. Very little intervention is required. But when it does require intervention, what helps people, what helps parents and babies survive is timely access to care.
As labor and delivery units close, the timeliest care people might be able to get is in an emergency room. But emergency rooms can't offer the same level of care as a labor and delivery unit.
If a patient arrives to a hospital where there is no OB unit, it's actually way more of a risk. We monitor the fetal heart rate and we monitor the contractions. And it's this beautiful symphony. It's a map that lets us know what's going on. In a unit, like in an emergency room, they're not going to have any of that. So you have none of those telltale signs to know that the baby's in stress or that there's a concern.
The thought of having to go to an emergency department to deliver a baby with people that you don't know with a possibly loaded unit. Am I going to have to deliver a baby in a bed with somebody who's screaming out in pain from a broken leg? Like, that's the reality of it. Like, I think about that.
We're not prioritizing the essential health care of women and children in this country. Mm-hmm. Like, women deserve more in this country than what we're getting.
How did you feel as a healthcare provider when you were watching these debates around Medicaid cuts play out in Congress?
Oh my gosh. It's like the nail in the coffin. It really, when we should be going in this direction, we're instead going in this direction.
153 rural hospitals nationwide have closed in the last 20 years. More than twice that number could close if the Republican-sponsored One Big Beautiful Bill Act becomes law.
The Trump tax bill is poised to exacerbate all these problems that are already plaguing rural providers.
Almost $1 trillion in saving just with the stroke of a pen.
Congressional Republicans and the Trump administration wanted to partially fund their tax cuts by reducing the amount of federal expenditures that go towards Medicaid.
7.5 million people will lose their Medicaid coverage over the next decade. And shrinking the Medicaid program will have devastating consequences for rural hospitals.
Medicaid is like one of the pots of money that get put in, and private insurance and private payers and federal reimbursements. So all those kind of get put in and all that gets used to pay their bills. So when you lose Medicaid payments significantly, the hospital has to work off of this much money instead of this much money. So even if you're not a Medicaid recipient or benefit from the Medicaid system, you really do, you just don't know it.
People who have lost Medicaid coverage will still go to hospitals for care. The difference is just that the hospital won't get paid for treating them.
For patients who are uninsured, when they show up to a hospital, particularly in an emergency situation, the hospital is obligated both legally and ethically to provide care to those patients.
And so if they come, we get no reimbursement and there's no compensation for that. It hurts you to not have these patients who have some form of payment. It may not be the best, you know, it may not be the highest, but at least it's something.
When hospitals are faced with shrinking budgets, labor and delivery is often the first unit to get cut, but it won't be the last.
Like if you're used to seeing your neurologist at this hospital, the hospital might get rid of neurology because they need to make cuts because they can't pay all the bills. And so services get cut. OB is one of those services, but there's many others as well.
There's little restricting hospitals from making decisions to close service lines that don't make them money. And as this crisis worsens, it will fundamentally reshape what life in rural America looks like.
And then in here will be the little girl's room. So this will be our nursery. Everything in me wants to stay here for the rest of my life and raise these kids because I had such a good experience here. And now, like this, watching this whole situation with our hospital unfold, where is the caring for people? Why is money more important than that? It's astounding to me.
So Copley is like the canary in the coal mine, that what's happening in our community is not isolated to us. It is going to happen in other communities based on the healthcare decisions we're making today.
130 more rural OB units are at risk of closure, and that number will only get worse as Medicaid cuts go into effect.
I'm having a girl. What about her? Is she going to have access? I mean, those are real questions that all of a sudden I'm having to ask myself. And it shouldn't be a worry. It should just be basic access to healthcare.
At the federal level, this is an eminently solvable problem. There are a number of things that federal policymakers could do. First and foremost, don't do what Republicans just did and cut Medicaid financing by $1 trillion and kick 16 million patients off of their insurance.
I beg our lawmakers to make it a priority, because when you lose it, it's going to be really hard to get it back if you ever do, and you probably won't.
We need to demand more of our legislators on the state and federal level to really reimburse healthcare for what it actually costs. They work for us. They need to listen to what we need from them.
Unless we change course, Republicans' Medicaid cuts will be the final blow for many rural hospitals. But the more fundamental issue is why America's hospitals are expected to run like businesses in the first place.
There are plenty of services that we consider to be human necessities that we provide throughout the country, even if it is, quote unquote, more expensive or less efficient. The post office is a good example. It's long been recognized that delivering a piece of mail in a rural area costs more. But we've made the determination that folks in these locations deserve to be able to receive their mail, just like we might decide they should deserve to receive their health care.
I think I've probably shed a tear for every baby that I've been a part of delivering. To be able to do it here in the community where I grew up and with oftentimes patients that I know, it's just nothing short of magical. It's not just about numbers. It's about every single life that we're bringing in.
There should be some things in rural areas that just are important because they are, because life hangs in the balance. And if we don't prioritize that, we're not prioritizing the life of our citizens.
Thanks for watching. If you have a story idea about healthcare or Medicaid cuts, send us a tip at stories@perfectunion.us. And don't forget to subscribe.